B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG, it's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Final hour on Agenda Free Friday is driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. The Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda free. Because I screwed it up again to start the show, I'm going to tell you you can choose some new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. As promised, phones with Chris Gasper, Pierre in Cambridge on the Patriots draft. Go ahead, Pierre.
What's going on? First time caller. I just want to ask a question. Why is it the fact that when you guys said that when the roster is how it is because the draft picks they filled on so much draft picks, isn't that because the fact that the draft picks they do evaluate Bill Parcells, Bill Belichick evaluates and he takes that he overevaluates them? Like the picks he do take, they're picked too high.
Yeah, well,
Or they'll pick him too low.
Pierre, they're misevaluated. Bill, like every other GM, has hits and misses.
Jordan, but I understand his point. They reach for guys for whatever reason.
Okay. Jordan Richards.
The ones that stick out to me all the time are Tavon Wilson and Jordan Richards.
Jake Beckett.
Yeah, those two guys are both second-round picks. What are you doing? And this goes against, and look, it's okay if you say, you know, a guy, most people don't go until the next round. Those guys were guys that people had projected late in the draft, if at all. They took him in the second round. Second. So it just, this is one of those where it feels like Bill sometimes says the rest of the league doesn't know what they're talking about. I'm smarter than everybody else. I'm going to pick the guy. And then he sucks. So, like, you know, those are the ones that to me should get you irritated as a fan.
My point on Bill is that I think he's a good drafter, but I don't think he's special. And I think he's a good GM and a good talent evaluator, but I don't think he's special. I think he's special as a coach. And as Chris just mentioned, I've been saying all day, I think people make the mistake of saying, well, he always makes up for those mistakes. No, he doesn't. He coaches around him, but he doesn't GM around him. It's not like he then comes up and picks up a guy in the middle of the year that's somehow 10 times better. No, he finds a guy and coaches him up, coaches his ass off, and the next thing you know, the guy's making plays and he's a fit. But that's because of the coach, not the GM. So that's just, you know, and I think his roster might be a little mismanaged. I mean, when you look at the passing game, we've been talking about this all day. They have no young receivers, no young tight ends, no young quarterbacks. They have Brady, Gronkowski, and Edelman, and that's it. And they're all
old,
relatively on their last legs.
Yeah, worn. Worn.
We're talking 1 or 2 years,
right?
3 at the most on the shelf life of these guys. And there's nothing coming, and I don't see the plan.
No, that is an alarming thing. And again, we were saying this earlier today, before Sony Michel. You know, the last meaningful first-round pick they really had was Chandler Jones. I mean, Malcolm Brown, I don't count him. I'm sorry. He wasn't Malcolm Brown.
I would agree with you on that.
That was the last, you could say, impactful first-round pick that they had was Chandler Jones.
So Jones and Hightower were the same.
Correct.
So, a long time ago.
Those guys,
Josh in Jamaica Plain with a basketball thing. Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, hey. Listen, Zion's been getting some heat. Zion Williamson, just dunker. But that guy is a beast, man. He can play D, quick hands. Great team player, great motor. He's going to be a phenom in the NBA. And I know that Gasper called LaMarcus Fultz bust, so he's on point.
Okay, so give me a thought on Zion Williamson then.
I love his game. You know, I think really what he does best is handle the basketball and pass. He's a phenomenal passer.
He is a great passer.
Is he a generational can't miss next guy kind of thing?
He looks that way if he can stay healthy. I do worry a little bit about the weight. I do, because he's so explosive as an athlete, and I just worry about him getting in the league and all these road trips and all this stuff. And, you know, when you get older, the metabolism slows down. What's the weight taking out of the knees and all that stuff? But if he can keep his weight in the right place, I mean, he's a LeBron-type talent.
What about the shot?
So you think
it needs work. But you know, here's the thing. I don't think he's ever been at any level, Maz, where that's really like an issue. In other words, like he can just dribble through or around everybody else. So he's going to have to put work in on that on the NBA level. But again, I think it will kind of be like when LeBron first came in. And the sad thing about LeBron to me, what I've been irritated with him the last couple of years is I actually think at a stage of his career when he should be a better jump shooter, he's actually gotten worse and he's gotten more reluctant to take them. So Hopefully a young guy will be able to learn.
I think Zion went 13 for 13 last night.
He did. He set a record.
13 for 13. Yeah.
13 for 13.
With like 6 or 7
He's
dunks.
6'7 with a 6'10 wingspan. He's got Barkley's body and a great handle. I mean, he's a unicorn. The guy's a freak.
Bob in Hopkinton with a football thought. Yes, Bobby.
Hey, Felga. Remember for years and years and years, the Jets were smart trading up in the first round, and the Patriots were just super stupid? Remember that?
Bob.
Also,
Bob, it's called statute of limitations, baby. You can't go back 10 years for a take. Did you drop him? He dropped. I didn't drop him. 9 years ago.
Is that a Felger and Maz commandment?
Yes. And your final word, we'll replay it in the Fuppets.
I think the talk radio gods intervened.
So he's going back to, I think he's talking about Dwayne Robertson. When the Jets traded up for Dwayne Robertson, remember the defensive lineman?
Yeah, I remember
that
guy. He was from Kentucky.
Fourth overall, I think. Was that 09? You're not allowed to go back 10 years and go,
That's such a bummer, though, because that means we can't use any of your, like, Sanchez takes or,
right.
or Brady's in decline. Although Brady in decline we can use because that was, like, 09
no,
through, like,
I took
15.
It, and so I was wrong. See,
we can use that
unlike
one,
you, so. It does not take a crowbar for me to say when I was wrong. I'll
take that as a compliment coming from
you. It just comes right out. I'm wrong, and I'm done with that. But there is a statute. You can't go back.
Brady in decline show.
10 years ago, whoa, you said you liked Dwayne Roberts.
Was it
10 years ago?
Golson? Wasn't it him?
Vernon Golston.
That's who it is.
I don't think I ever said a word about that guy.
Oh.
But anyway.
Chris, I'm like
guys
you.
That are in decline aren't supposed to do that, Bob.
Oh, that's funny, son. Oh, that boy. Yeah, go get him, son. Go Pats. Oh.
You can't go
he'll
back.
He'll have a nice conversation with Bruce Ellington next year, the two of them eye to eye. Which one is he? Is he sleepy, sneezy, or Doc? Which one is he of the seven?
You can't go back that far, but if you still want to get on mic for Don Elway, John Elway, and some
of those, Don.
See, we're still in that window.
If you were a follower of the Patriots and you would not trade Tom Brady for Andrew Luck, you're beyond dumb.
Okay, so what's this? That was 5 years ago now?
Maybe more.
I like Griffin better.
You like Blake Griffin better. You want us to hold that against you?
2012 is the date on these.
7 years ago.
Oh, man.
Statute of limitations.
RG3.
Statue, there's a shelf date for takes.
But your guy, the Don, did you hear the other day where he said, like, he doesn't like a lot of these college quarterbacks because they're in the shotgun too much? He's, like, eliminating guys that play in the shotgun
so
too
that
much.
Leaves him with, like, a Jeff Hornibrook in Wisconsin. No, yeah. Everyone's in the shotgun.
Exactly. That's the whole point. He's like, I don't know. You can't evaluate these guys. They're all in the shotgun too much for my taste.
Ay vey. So he had a good run, though. Josh and Webster, go ahead.
Hey, I'm just curious. Do you guys think, like, there's too much pressure to play here? Like, Cole Beasley, for example, like, he'd go to Buffalo and get the same guaranteed money when he doesn't have to come here and do that. Like, I was just curious.
Guys are turning it down because it's too much pressure? I think it's...
As opposed to what, Dallas?
I think it's the thing Chris said. That I bet you if you looked at the Patriots' offer to these guys, you know, from 10,000 feet, it's roughly the same, $9 million a year, da-da-da-da-da. Look at the guarantees. And how many of those 62.5 per game roster bonuses do the Patriots slip in there versus the Bills? I bet it's all in those little details that they structure it the way that they want with deferred money and option bonuses and per game roster bonuses.
Blah, blah, blah.
See, the player's head is spinning. He's like, what? Is this $9 million a year or not? I can't tell. And we're meanwhile in Buffalo and, you know, with Tennessee and these other places, like, no, it's $9 million bucks a year. Here it is. I bet that's what it is. Because Pets, we just want to dink around with it. All right, Chris, just give me a final Patriots thought here. Do you think, I don't know, what's their plan? What are they going to do here? Because they can't go into the season with Bruce Ellington and, you know, five receivers under 5'10 with their positional coach being Bob Sosi.
Don't forget my guy, Maurice Harris. I think there's a little potential.
Oh, you like Maurice Harris.
I do. I think there's a little upside there. But I think they'll try and make a trade. And they'll probably bring in some veteran, too. You know, maybe a guy like Aguilar shakes loose. He's in the last year of his deal. It's more than $9 million, but it's sort of like the Cooks thing in a way. You make the deal for the guy, and you get to kick the tires for a year. And meanwhile, he can help you win. And that's a guy who can play the slot. The Patriots, certainly. In fact, that's Jim Murray's favorite player, Nelson Aguilar. Yeah, he still has nightmares about Johnson Padamosi trying to, you know, tackle him in the Super Bowl. I could see that. I know we talked about Sanu, again, things can change. We'll see what the offers are. My understanding is he's not available. So,
Sanu, what? And is he still in Cincinnati?
No, he's in Atlanta.
He's in Atlanta. Duh.
Yeah, but they drafted Calvin Ridley.
They do. They have Calvin Ridley, but they've been able to clear. They had a real cap crunch, and they had to clear money. They did it by renegotiating Matt Ryan's deal, moving money around, and they did some other stuff.
They let Tevin Coleman go.
Tevin Coleman is with the 49ers now. Uh-huh. But Sanu would be great, but again, in today's NFL, what we're talking about, you want to have three good receivers, and that contract's not that bad.
Do we have a Murray Gasper extravaganza tomorrow?
No, just 1 hour leading into the Celtics matinee, so it's just yours truly.
What do the Celtics have tomorrow?
The
Atlanta Hawks.
Oh, that ought to be a good one.
Okay. Listen in, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Chris, thanks for coming in.
Good to see you guys.
Okay, quick break, and we're back with more.
I would not trade Brady for Luck. I would trade him for both Luck and RG3 at this point. Both of them.
The Sports Hub.
Hey.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Are you starting to get concerned, annoyed?
Impatient and pissed.
Okay, good, Murray. Go ahead. Yeah, impatient and pissed with your team.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go. I'm through the buffer of, well, they did just win the Super Bowl, and I mostly thought that team sucked last year. They always get it right. You're going to add a right wide receiver, a real wide receiver, because Golden Tate's still out there. You have a 42-year-old quarterback. And as of right now, your wide receiver core looks like Julian Edelman. Yay, you bring Philip Dorsett back for one more year. Fine. And Philip Berrios? Braxton Berrios? Whatever the hell his name is?
Honey Nut.
Honey Nut Berrios?
Braxton.
Do something. The New England Patriots have added to their wide receiver core. Free agent wide receiver, Bruce Ellington.
I'm sorry, who?
Bruce Ellington.
Can you tell me a little more about this individual, please?
No. What the hell? Bruce Ellington. Who knows about Bruce Ellington? And he's going to sit here and pretend to know about Bruce Ellington.
Fantasy players?
Go get Golden Tate. Golden Tate has found a home as former Eagles and Lions wide receiver. Golden Tate is signing with the New York Giants. What is that team doing? How does that make any sense? Why did he go to the New York Giants? Bill, come back from Barbados or wherever the hell you are and sign a guy like this. Oh, now you can't, because now he's on the New York Giants with Eli Manning throwing him meatballs. Oh, God. The Patriots are signing former Redskins wide receiver Maurice Harris, who is also here on a visit with Bruce Ellington today.
I don't know that. Who's that?
No, nor should you.
Who is that?
Maurice Harris.
Mo?
I'm
sorry, tell me his name again.
Maurice Harris.
Okay.
Can we go over that depth chart again real quick?
Sure, can.
Go ahead, Murray.
Murray, do it slowly, okay? Do it slowly, because I would like to chime in if you would.
Julian Edelman.
5'10".
Philip Dorsett.
5'10".
Bruce Ellington.
5'9".
Braxton Berrios.
5'9".
Matthew Slater.
No idea. It doesn't matter. He's never going to play the position anyway.
Cody Hollister.
Let's stop there.
Stop there.
5'10", 5'10", 5'9", 5'9". Wide receiver positional coach, Bob Sosa.
What it sounded like yesterday. I just like playing that. Thought it was fun. We continue with your thoughts on Agenda Free Friday. Everything on the board. Steven in Needham, what do you got for us today, Steve?
Hey, I'm first time, long time. Curious, with all the calls, are you seeing a shift in the fan bases? It's been a bit of a soap opera with the Celtics and the Bruins and the Patriots over the last few weeks. Red Sox season starting. Just curious if you're seeing a change in popularity or interest compared to other years where we've had less of that.
All right. Talk radio rankings. These are not city rankings. They're not TV rankings. They are talk radio rankings. Number one, Patriots. Number two, clearly Celtics. Number tie for third, Bruins Sox.
I mean, as of today?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, no one wants to talk Sox right now, but get going in the year. If the Sox start out the regular season the way they're playing down in Florida.
There'll be a force.
They've lost 9 straight, and they just lost 14-1 today to the Yankees. Then, yeah, we'll get some action. But talk radio, the Red Sox are not nearly what they used to be. I think that's obvious.
I'll tell you, though, I've been pleasantly surprised that this offseason, despite the fact that they did nothing, they really did. They did nothing, that when they came up, there were calls.
It's true.
And so,
and there's already concerns from real hardcore baseball fans. Again, we heard from Alan in Florida this week, and
who is not happy with the way that bullpen looks.
Yeah. Like how it looks.
So, I've said this. I think they're going to get off to a bad start. I told you, start in Seattle, Oakland, Arizona. I think those are three decent teams, although I had a nasty listener email me and tell me that the Mariners have traded off parts and so have the Diamondbacks. And he's right. In his defense, he's right. I still think, on the road to start the year, Western time zone. I don't ever remember the Red Sox starting out west and starting well, ever.
I'll just say basketball, from a talkability standpoint, is tremendous, especially when you have one of these diva a-hole teams like everybody else, which is what the Celts have become. It's like you have LeBron here.
They don't really even need to play the games.
I mean,
that's
it's
the beauty of
it. It's true. It's tremendous. A tremendous fodder, talk radio-wise. The Celtics, if you want to go TV ratings, they should have blown the Bruins out of the water this year, and they haven't. They're just marginally ahead of the Bruins. In fact, I think the Bruins are better than the Celtics' TV ratings and demos, meaning like adults and men and the demos that matter. I think the Celts have them a little bit in households, which they don't even really look at. So the Celtics, with their crappy play, have lost themselves TV numbers. And I thought the Celts were going to blow them out of the water this year, and they really haven't. Dan and Hingham on Russell Westbrook. Yes, Dan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call this afternoon. I just wanted to give my thoughts on Russell Westbrook and the Jazz fan. I don't feel there's any excuse for anyone to use the racist language that Jazz fan used, calling Westbrook boy and saying he has to go back where he came from and, saying, according to Westbrook, that he has to get on his knees and stuff and that kind of thing. I mean, was Westbrook out of line for threatening the guy's wife? Yes. And, I mean, even threatening the guy, the Jazz fan himself, yes, I do believe that. But I also feel that Westbrook was provoked, too.
Well, and, I mean just that old – you won't go the old schoolyard thing. Who started it? It wasn't Westbrook.
I'll tell you what. I'll be honest. I don't have any problem with him threatening the guy. None.
Yeah,
he was a big dude.
That's true.
Yeah, he was a big dude, and as we found out, former cop, you said, right?
Highway patrolman.
Yeah, and he looked like a good-sized guy to me in the interview. Again, I don't know.
He's Brett Kiesel's cousin.
Okay, so I look at him. I got no problem with that at all. You're going to shoot your mouth off like that, and he wants to, then Russell Westbrook, let's go. Fine. I got no problem with that whatsoever. You're going to be a complete a-hole like that. But the wife, I told you, 90% I'm with Westbrook. I just can't defend the 10%. Maybe she was yelling at him too, and I would still tell him, don't yell at the wife. Like, that's just, don't go there.
I'm just so impressed with Gail Miller to stand up in front of that crowd and say we're not a racist community, when she could have left the race thing out of it, because it wasn't a overtly racist comment, meaning it wasn't, you didn't hear a slur or anything like, you had to sort of read between the lines, and she easily could have just sort of glossed over that and not, well, she could have not said anything, but to actually stand up in front of the crowd like she did and say it was offensive, not just to our players, but to me personally and my family, and we are not a racist community. And in so many words, if you get close to that sort of behavior, you're out. And I just think that takes a lot of guts in that kind of marketing. It was good for her.
Look, they responded swiftly to this whole thing. It took less than 24 hours for them to ban that fan. They did their own investigation. They talked to people there. They looked at video. They did all of that inside of 24 hours.
And they found a second guy.
Yes.
They found a second guy and tossed his ass out of there, too.
So I like the way they handled it. Now, that said, I didn't realize the problem in Utah, in the eyes of NBA players, was as bad as they believe it is. Like, and I believe them. I'm not telling you I don't believe them. But clearly, they've had a problem out there.
Here's Devin and Lynn. Hi, Devin.
How you doing? I think we really need to trade Torrey Krug. In the 59 games that he's played in, there's been 153 goals against. He's been on the ice for at least 64 of those goals, which is 42%. One person has been on the ice for 42% of the goals scored. That's almost a 50-50 shot that if a goal is scored against the Bruins, he's going to be on the ice for it.
Okay, thanks for the caller. They're not trading him now. Trade deadline's gone.
That's an amazing stat.
He's minus -8 in his last two games. I'll just say this again. I've come to learn that this is another guy that the Bruins writers are rallying around. It's staggering how they have this crew of guys. It used to be Claude and Shirelli and Rask and Louis Erickson and Chara. And like, they just, but Krug's now on this list. All the guys that cover the team are like, Krug, you can't, this idea of trading Krug. They said, well, you have no one like him. You have no one to replace that. He's a catalyst. No one does what he does. And I agree, he's a good offensive player. He's a really good power play player. He's a borderline defensive liability.
He's a third pairing guy.
5-on-5, he's a third pairing guy at best. And in the playoffs, in these heavy hitting, lean on you playoff series, what do we have Krug? What's Krug for the year? Do you know? Hold on, I want to know what it is.
Okay, you look it up. He should be about 15 minutes a night, and six of them should be on the power play. So that's why I say third pairing guy. You can't get through the postseason with a guy like that. You can't do it.
He's only -3 on the season, which...
Yeah, but with the number of points he has as a defenseman, that's not good.
Right, he's fifth leading scorer in terms of points, and he's a -3, right?
I mean, because all of his points come on the power play, and he's great at it. Great at it. Excellent on the power play right there out at the top of that umbrella that they talk about. He's awesome at it. But to me, overpaid for what he gives them.
Okay, the very latest in the world of sports here on a Friday evening comes your way right here in the update, and then we're back with more of your wonderful phone calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, one more segment of your wonderful phone calls here on an agenda-free Friday with Felger and Mass. Our buddy Daniel's in Quincy. Hi, Dan.
Yes, sir. Felger, this is kind of a belated reaction to but what is your problem with what they did with Josh Gordon last year? You said this week that it didn't work and he was a pain in the ass.
Yes.
Explain those two.
Okay, it didn't work. The offense got worse when they were trying to force him the ball down the field. And in the meantime, you lost time trying to develop other guys. Philip Dorsett fell off the face of the earth. Hogan fell off the face of the earth because you're trying to force it downfield to this guy. And it did not help matters. And when I say, waste of time, it was just a waste of time and a pain in the ass.
Well, he had 41 receptions, 400 and over 700 yards in reception. He averaged 18 yards per reception.
I don't care about his stats.
41 yards per, I don't understand. You look at the statistics. He helped the team, and he bridged the gap to where they needed to be at the end.
No.
I agree. It's a disappointing that he didn't finish with the Patriots. I agree with you. But to say that it didn't work.
It didn't work.
It's actually incorrect.
It didn't work.
Incorrect. 41 receptions, 723 yards.
I don't care about his stats. Who cares what his individual stats were?
Those are tangible arguments.
Dan, I think the team would have arrived at their place earlier if he had not gotten in the way.
By the way, Dorsett wasn't healthy when he was on the team, if I'm not mistaken. Edelman wasn't himself. Gronkowski wasn't himself. They had issues on the offensive on receiving end.
I think they were in his 13 games. Were they something like 9-4? Like, I mean, their record wasn't even that good when he was on the field, Danny.
I'm just talking about. You said it didn't work.
It didn't.
He bridged the gap to the end of the season.
It didn't work.
I'm sorry,
Danny. Would you invest in him next year?
Yeah, I would bring him back.
Oh my gosh,
absolutely,
Danny. How could you possibly? How can you rely on him? How could you possibly rely on him?
Well, I mean, I agree with you there, Tony. I'm not saying that. I mean, the guy's got some demons he's got to deal with, and I'm hoping the team can work with him in correcting him. But if they can correct his head and get him back on track and concentrate on football, I think it would be a great acquisition. I mean, I'm not happy with what happened this week. Don't get me wrong. But to say it didn't work with Gordon is just, it's incorrect.
Okay, we'll agree to disagree. I don't think it worked.
I mean, there were some games that certainly didn't. The Tennessee one is the glaring example of that. But in the second half of the win over Minnesota here, he sparked that offense. He mattered. In those 11 games, he did help in some of those. I'm just done with him in terms of the off-the-field stuff. It's going to happen again. He's had how many chances now? I'm all for second chances. When you're on fourth, fifth, I'm good. Goodbye.
I mean, to me, they went 8-3 with him.
8-3.
Yeah, they went 8-3 with him. They lost the last two. To me, the big thing is this. Did he really give you something you can't get out of a half-decent guy who plays on the outside? Brandon LaFell gave them more than Josh Gordon gave them.
I just think you're just investing time and energy, mental and physical energy, for a guy that is not going to make it. All due respect and unfortunately and all that. I'm just, you know, you're not a rehab facility. Like, that's not your job. Your job is to win football games. You go get your life together and you know, all that. But, you know, to put everything else on hold to bring this guy along, I just don't see the value in it. I don't. Chris and Raynham. Yes, Chris.
Hey, guys. When you talk about the lack of draft success that the Patriots have had, you fail to mention people like David Andrews, James Devlin, J.C. Jackson, who played a huge role in some of those playoff games and solidified the defense down the end of the stretch. Those are undrafted free agents that they hit on way, way, way above the rest of the NFL in terms of percentages. It's not even to go deeper into the depth chart when you look at Ryan Allen, who was huge in the Super Bowl. These are undrafted free agents that they hit on. Sure, they might miss on a third-round pick, but they offset with the undrafted free agents, and they're still in the same spot cap-wise because of those.
No, they don't.
Well, I mean, it's a fair point to bring up, Chris. I'm not sure where they rank in terms of success with undrafted guys. I don't know. They have a spot guy here or there, and a couple really big success stories like Malcolm Butler, J.C. Jackson, nice little player. I don't mind him. But do they have more or less than other teams? I don't know.
Well, and the other thing, the idea that they make up for them with the undrafted, you really, again, I'll say it again. We've said it a couple of times today on the show. Before Sony Michel, the last impactful first-round pick that they had was Chandler Jones. So are you getting undrafted free agents that are giving you the impact of a first-round pick? Is that what you're trying to argue? Because I just don't think
Malcolm
that Butler, happens.
Malcolm Butler was.
Okay, so that's one.
And that's the only one I can really think of. The punter, Chris, come on, dude.
Like, and so Maurice, what's his name? Maurice Harris?
Yes. Yeah.
The guy, isn't he undrafted?
Yes.
Yes.
Do we sing his praises in Washington?
Yeah. Washington really nailed that one.
So, like, I look at some of those and say, I think those guys turn up in a lot of places. And look, I'll give you the fact that I think that Bill's good. But you're gonna have 5 years without a first-round pick making any sort of impact to make up for that with undrafted free agents? Good luck.
Again,
I'm
just not sure if they've had more or less than other teams. Here's Kirk in the Berkshires. Yes, Kirk.
Yes, I was wondering, if the Celtics make a deep playoff push but just come up short of the finals, do you think Kyrie Irving will still end up staying if they play well? Or do you think it's finals or bust with this guy?
It's a great question. So we've all sort of said, and I think agree, that Kyrie's decision is going to be based a lot will go into how they finish. You know, if he's leaning towards New York right now, if the Celtics have a great postseason, will that change his mind? And is it all sort of dependent on how they finish? And I think it's a factor. But what constitutes a good finish? What if you lose Game 7 East Finals in Toronto and you're right there, but you don't even go to the NBA Finals?
Depends how it happens.
Right.
They could
blow it out. And the reason I say that is because, like, the way I look at it, is Kyrie going to react well to losing no matter what when it happens?
So, I can't imagine he would, but...
I mean, who does? When you lose in the playoffs, last year, for as entertaining and inspiring as it was, the way they played, they gagged in Game 7. They couldn't shoot. So, we didn't take that well. And now, all of a sudden, this team, with all this talent, is going to get in the playoffs and lose to whoever it is in the conference final? I guess what I'm saying is I don't see a way where losing ends well.
So I just they have to go to the finals, you think?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. And I don't rule out, you know, I don't rule out them doing that. But I would love to see them get up to that 3 seed so they could have a cakewalk in the first round.
I don't know how they don't. They're 2 games behind Indiana. I don't know how they don't catch Indiana.
Because Indiana won't go away because they're the Celtics of a few years ago.
No, they try their ass off, but they're limited talent-wise, Indiana, and they still have to go out west and play Golden State and do that whole swing. Indiana won last night at home against OKC. Indiana's got a hard schedule down the stretch.
Right.
This is what I'm saying. I don't know how you don't catch them. Philly, I don't think you catch. Look at Philly's schedule. It's cake. And I think Philly sucks. I can't stand the Sixers.
You know what? Philly will gag, though.
I think Philly's an affront, but they play. Look at their schedule. It's all this Eastern Conference garbage.
They'll gag.
Against Eastern Conference garbage?
Yep.
All right.
That team will go to sleep. That team's not focused. Too young, too immature.
John in New Hampshire. Hi, John.
It's John in New Hampshire, actually.
Hi, John.
So, question for you. When was the last time that the Patriots had this much of a turnover, not only from their coaching staff, but from a player personnel standpoint as well? And you're putting a lot of faith that Belichick can control that. You know, when they had Rack and they had some of these other coaches back in the early 2000s, they would challenge Belichick, and it just doesn't seem like anybody does that anymore.
Well, from a
I'll hang up and listen for you, Rob.
From a staff, I don't think they've ever had a bigger turnover on the staff. When they lost Romeo Crennel and Charlie Weiss in 04, the 05 offseason, I think McDaniels was right there. Mangini was still right there. Like, Bill still had some positional coaches that were on the way up and sort of stepped right in. His guys, quote-unquote. This, McDaniels is coming back, and who else? You know, Ivan Fiers and Dante. I don't know. It feels like there's a huge turnover on the staff. I don't know how much that's going to impact them or not. The personnel has not turned over yet. Like, you thought it might, but I don't think it really has. Has it?
You're talking about not the coaching personnel.
I'm talking about the player personnel. I mean, I don't know. I think they've lost important guys, their best defensive lineman, their starting left tackle, etc. But I don't feel like the volume has been like it. I was expecting more, frankly, given the financial issues that they appear to have. I thought they'd be cutting more guys.
Well, again, it's just so rare for these guys to reach the final years of these contracts. Devin McCourty's in year five. Year five of a five-year deal. In that league, that never happens.
I'm telling you, I think that they had it in the back of their minds that this was a year they were going to turn the page and turn over the roster. And then they won the damn thing. And now they're like, oh, now what do we do? We're going to cut half the defensive roster after we just won a championship and these guys want to keep playing?
So are you saying by a financial and roster standpoint, the worst thing the Patriots could have done was win the Super Bowl?
Well, I think it's made it more complicated. I mean, don't you?
Just want to hear you say it.
I think winning the Super Bowl has made it way more complicated on the roster. Way more. If they, again, after Pittsburgh, we all sort of looked at it and said, okay, you know, not their year. They're going to lose in the divisional round if they make it. Or, you know,
I called it a lost season.
It'll peter out, right? Lost season. If they really had a lost season, then I think they easily could say, Devin, it's been a great run. We have to turn the page. You're making $13.5 million against
the
cap.
Dante Hightower,
love you, mean it, great run. You're making $11 million against the cap. We're going to turn the page. I think they could say to Gronkowski, look, you know, we'll see you in the Hall of Fame, but it's now we've got to get younger, and this is the natural breaking point to do it. I think it would have been easy. Not after they went and they all played huge roles in winning a championship. It's made it more complicated, no doubt.
I mean, maybe this all played into McCourty and what he said during Super Bowl week, because, again, the whole hinting at retirement thing, and that was with Dion, if I remember right. It was whatever. Okay, that was before the game. So if they lose the game and the team goes to him and says, take a cut, guys, I'm done. See you later.
Right, maybe. Right, I think it's also all these guys want another kick at the can because they ended on such a high note.
Well, and also they got leverage. We won.
All of it.
Take a cut. No.
All of it. Andrew in Hanover. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
With the addition of Adam Gase, Le'Veon Bell, C.J. Mosley, and the third overall pick, do you think the Jets have a chance of making the playoffs?
I think they have a chance. I wouldn't bet on it.
So I give them a chance because, again, they're going to play four games against Buffalo and Miami. So, you know, if they go 4-2 in the division, they get a chance. Like, and I'm just, you know, I rule out nothing in the AFC East because there have been teams that aren't that good. But because two of the other three suck, they end up making the playoffs. I'm not kidding.
Keep
Buffalo
talking.
Made the playoffs
Keep
a couple
talking.
Of years ago.
Hold on. Believe me, I'd like nothing more than the Jets to come back and be a factor.
And their road schedule I was outside of the division.
So hold on. Can I just go through the schedule real quick? Come on. Play along with me. You ready, Maz?
Yeah. Is this the Pats now or the Jets?
We don't know their opponents. They got to giggle. Do you have it in front of you, Mark?
I have it right here.
Okay, go.
All right. So
are we doing Jets or Pats?
Jets.
Jets. Go.
Away. At Baltimore.
Loss.
Loss.
At Bengals.
Win.
Win.
At Eagles.
Loss.
At Redskins.
Close.
That's a win.
Win.
At Jaguars.
Loss.
I think that's a win.
Okay, so either way, they're 2-3. Go ahead, keep going.
And then it's Pats, Dolphins, Bills.
No, they have more than five road games, dude.
Pats, Dolphins, Bills are the last three.
Thank you. I did math in my own head. So fine.
So they lose here. They win the other two. 4-4 on the road. That's not bad.
4-4 on the road.
That's not bad. Who do they play at home? You get the home there?
Yep.
Okay, so don't leave the division out of it because we know
they're going to go
2-1 in the division at home.
2-1.
So that puts them at 6-5. Keep going.
Go.
New York Giants.
Win.
Win.
Cowboys.
Loss.
Steelers.
Win. Loss. Loss. Loss.
Loss.
No, Le'Veon Bell is going to get revenge. That's a win. Browns.
Loss. Loss.
Raiders.
Win. Win.
8-8.
They're on the cusp. They catch a break. They catch a break. They might get in. 9-7 might get them in.
8-8. That's a pretty good record for a 17-game schedule. final word. And what is the statute of limitations on takes? We discussed that in the final word with the Fuppets, fresh Fuppets. You don't want to miss it. It's a good one right after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Buddy, nope.
What's your middle name, Jim?
Rocco.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, I like
so
it.
Good.
Yeah.
James Rocco Murray. Oh, my God.
Rocco.
I love that. You're
perfect.
Rocco is perfect for you.
Rocco.
My great-grandfather's name.
Well, that's just so perfect.
Rocco, I do. I love it.
Rocco Carrabas. Thus, how I'm related to Jared Carrabas.
We all have all perfect middle names for who we really are. Maz?
Ezio.
It's not Italian, is it?
Slightly. There's no T in it. It's a hard Z. Ezio.
Mine's Alan. Alan.
Michael Allen Felger.
Alan, yeah. Okay, go ahead,
Alan
Rocco.
In Florida. Felger.
Well, no, you set this up. This
oh,
is...
right, it's the Fuppets. This is a good one. This is a good one. Could be record-setting. Heretofore, the most watched and viewed episode of the Fuppets came at this last Super Bowl with the Super Tuesday shenanigans and me getting sick off of four Miller Lights. This could set the record because this is next level. We asked this week, what's the statute of limitations on bad takes? If you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, you get the video in all its glory. If not, if you're driving your car, go home and log on to the socials. We've blasted it all out. This week's edition of the Fuppets. Thank you again to Hardy. What should be the statute of limitations on bad takes?
3 years, but you can knock it down to 2 by providing a forced apology.
Right. See, I think that's fair. Statute of limitations is 3 years, but you can plead it down to 2 with a strong mea culpa or apology, or as Maz said, good behavior.
Good behavior, yeah. This guy says, Maz, you wrote for the 2018 Sox beatings in October of 2020.
So you've got to pay for that for at least a full year or two.
No.
I'm being fair.
Okay.
See, the positive take and the negative take have to be handled the same.
Damn it.
All you green teamers, I want to go back and put together all the sound of what you green teamers were saying about this team going into the year. You've got to pay for that every bit as long as Maz and his negative Red Sox take or me and my negative Patriots take.
Does this mean that for another year, I can rub it in Patriots fans' face like the Eagles won last year's
Super
Bowl?
Yes, yep.
And wait, but the Patriots won the Super Bowl after, so doesn't that negate the take?
No.
No.
Hell no.
3 years, statute of limitations on bad takes. 2 years for good behavior, meaning a mea culpa or apology, Maz.
So does the apology have to be sincere? Because I can give a fake apology with the best of them.
All right. Once again, thanks again to Hardy, the brainchild, also the video department here at Beasley. They've sort of stepped up the video.
Right. The standard has been set too high now. That's
seriously,
issue.
Yeah. Our video department here is good.
It's actually borderline professional.
I love the video team here. Nice people. Good job.
Okay. Anyway, thanks to everyone putting that together. Catch that on socials. If you didn't get a chance to watch it on TV, guess who's standing by? It's the Buzzard. What do we got today, Jones?
I meant to tell you guys this previously. I'm a big fan of this
making sure that we have different criteria for how long we can go back on old takes.
Yeah, there's got to be a shelf date.
I think I'm almost out of the woods on Jokic. I think I'm almost out. That one's getting close,
I think. How many years was that?
That was the Jaylen Brown draft. I think that was about 3 years. I'm right on the line of that
to
one.
To me, 3 years is the 3 years is that
we can retire that one almost. So I'm a fan of this plan.
Two tops.
Jones, not a chance. The sound is too good.
Anywho, I this struck me, and we're going to spend some time on this. Bill Belichick down in Barbados. You guys have been all over that, and rightfully so. Down in Barbados, celebrating at the beach, and nothing to celebrate down there, as far as I'm concerned, with the way free agency has gone. Isn't this normally the time of year where Bill Belichick is grinding away at pro days? And we have to endure from Patriots Twitter how Bill Belichick's out there working harder than every other coach. He's at the Alabama Pro Day. He's at the Auburn Pro Day. He's at this Pro Day. He's at that Pro Day. I haven't seen him at any Pro Days yet. I haven't seen him out on the scouting trail. So maybe he's taken off the draft as well. Free agency and the draft for Bill Belichick will be a nice breather.
I'd rather he take off the draft than his clothes based on what I've seen.
All right. That's going to do it for the weekend. Everybody have a great, happy, and safe weekend. Felger and Maz returns Monday at 2. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.